verse do we trust? And that is not true. We won't do that. But they're handing out. Anyhow, as we come today, going with everything, we call our sermon today, Father Knows Best, So Best Know the Father. And, of course, some of you know, some of you remember that show. If you remember that, watching that show, obviously the older hands come up in the crowd. I never saw that show. Mark, did you see that show? Never saw that show. Some of you, your idea of father was married with children. But this was what the other generation had there. And this was a family. It was the Andersons. And they were truly a family to emulate. Dad was always there for his kids, you know, Betty, Bud, and Kathy. And if Bud got sick, he would do the paper route for him in the rain, you know, like you would do, Mario. And then he always would miss whatever appointment he had or whatever to be there for his daughter's plays and stuff at school. And he was just a wonderful dad. And for most of you, that's exactly what you grew up with. But a lot of us realize that, and I'm a father of a couple of kids myself, so I understand something. The laughter being that I have 11 children. I am waiting for the 12th one so we can go ahead and get the tribal thing working. But in saying that, some of the things that Father was best known about there was that he knew how to know his children, to be there for his children. That it was more than what he did for them. It was more than the lessons, even stuff. He knew how to guide them, but he knew them. And for me as a father, I think the hardest thing is being on that intimate level with my children. I mean, for Richard, and he's here today, I think for him, it was always being able to show myself fully. Lots of joking, lots of kidding. We were Texas, and the way you showed your love to your kids was you mocked them, you know. And that was the basic, I mean, really, and that's the way you showed love. Later, as I would get a chance to get around another round of children, of course, we have a seven-month-old. I get a little bit better each year about showing that because at 50, I have nothing left to hide. The hair's about gone. So, I mean, there's a lot of things as I laid on the couch the other day, my kid said to me, Dad, don't you think you should work out? And I replied, no, I don't think so. I think I'm fine. And he said, well, I've seen pictures of you when you were young, and you didn't have that stomach. So, I mean, there's nothing hidden anymore. The intimacy levels are much higher. It is what it is. But our Father in heaven, his desire to guide us, his desire to know us, his desire to be known is fantastic. And we say that the Father knows us, and he wants to be known. He absolutely knows our paper routes. He absolutely knows all those things. But you fathers understand what it means, how much it means when your son or your daughter grows up and they know you and they come close to you and they know the things about you that you didn't even know basically yourself. And, of course, I have the older children now who are able to tell me the things about me that touch them the most. Of course, that's generally after about an hour of me apologizing for all the horrific things, you know, that, and they always will say, no, you were a good father, and they bless me with that. But what I'm talking about here is that intimacy of knowing and being known, an intimate relationship characterized by the closeness, the connectedness, the openness, the transparency, and the vulnerability. And it's the one that Christ invites us into with our Heavenly Father. And we often get that kind of mixed up because we think of Jesus as our buddy and God is still that aloof Father up there. He wouldn't certainly mock us, but he's not someone we get to know so good. For me, again, that vulnerability, that getting known with my children was very difficult, but it was also very difficult to have that relationship with my Father in heaven. I didn't have that kind of relationship with my earthly fathers. They were shake hands when you graduate kind of things, but you loved them and you knew they loved you. But there wasn't talk. You certainly didn't share things. You didn't do that. And there's a word in the Old Testament, a Hebrew word that speaks of that intimacy that I'm talking about. It's called yada, and it's translated to know, but it speaks of a deep, intimate experience. In Jeremiah 1:5, God says it when he says the Jeremiah book we're going through, we're not covering it today per se, but he says, before I formed you, Jeremiah 1:5, in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before you were even born, I had a plan for your life. And I knew what was, I'm calling you out, basically, to that plan. How fantastic is that? Now, I'm just trying to get you raised up so I can get you out of the house at the age of 18 or whatever the age is. I'm trying to get you graduated so you don't humiliate me too bad kind of thought. I've got something for you. And you weren't a mistake. And I chose you and I planned for you and I'm calling you out today. And I'm not just calling you out because I need workers in the field. I'm calling you out because I love you and I want you to know me. And I want you to know those things. God's intimately acquainted with you and I before we were born, and he wants to teach us and teach us about himself and to reveal himself. And he created each of us with this need to be deeply known. I think every one of us, that's our desire, is that someone would know us. That someone would actually somehow get an idea of who we are. And it's our biggest fears in life is that we would never be known truly, or that mine was that no one could ever love me if they did know me. Because they wouldn't understand. Too complicated. Don't say anything. And my biggest fear was I would never be able to love anyone else. Because I didn't understand how to do those things. But God says, I want you to deeply know me. And I want you to deeply be known by others. And something in us cries out and says, please know me. You're here today to know the word of God and hear the word of God, but you also are in a community that calls you into that knowing that's there. It's a cry like wearing the light. It's a cry like that dashboard light that's going off all the time. That's saying something's not good. You keep driving the car, but you see the light going on. I'm here, but no one really knows me. And I want to be known. And what generally happens is when that intimacy isn't addressed in our life, where we don't get real relationships, which, by the way, in the church, we can't promise those kind of relationships. You can promise the opportunity to make friends, but not every friend's going to be that friend. But God says, I have a promise completely to know you and to call you into knowing me. Jesus extended this very invitation to us when he said in John 14:7, he said, if you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. And from now on, you do not know him. From now on, you know him and you've seen him. Why? Because you've seen me. For Jesus, yes, he died for our sins. He died for these things that are here. But he died for our sins to cover them so that that which stood between us and the Father is removed. So if all you're doing is walking around saying, wow, I'm forgiven and I feel good, I'm going to heaven, I want you to step back a second and say, no, he died for the acceptance. It starts today of knowing the Father and him knowing you. I remember at the age of 15 saying, if you will be my Father, I will be a son to you. I just want someone who knows me. You say, well, Raymond, you are a whiny kid. Yeah, probably was. But for the most part, all of us, that's what we're saying. I'll give you my life. You know me that way. We see the things that what the Father knows best are about us as our hearts and desires. He knows that. We sit back and say, you know, again, my biggest fear to coming to Christ was this. He's going to jack my life up because he doesn't have my life desires on his grid. I've been to church, and my desires don't fit in most churches. Now, am I the only one who felt that? Maybe some of you were going, well, they fit perfectly. But for me, I was a musician, and that's where the rub was. Because I knew Amazing Grace, and I could play it 15 ways to Sunday. But I wanted something more, and I really liked the blues. And the first time I played a blue note in one of our little worship groups, the worship leader looked at me and said, Raymond, you play another one of them blue notes, we're all going to go to hell. So, I mean, that was the whole sense of this music's bad. And so there was a concern. God, you really don't have my life on your grid. You don't understand me. You don't understand my heart for music. You couldn't because, now, that's foolish, obviously. But that was the rub for me. Psalm 139, we read this here, and so many times we've read this. We read it to kids all the time, but let's hear ourselves. You have searched me, Lord, and you, what? You know me. You've searched me, and you know me. Let's stop there and say this here. When I married Teresa, be 20 years in December. I mean, we got a 5.5 months coming up. I mean, some of you know Walter and Susan just had their, and the Bonitas just had theirs this week, their anniversaries. And I said, isn't it cool that your anniversaries are so close to ours? Ours is like in 5.5 months. We have one too. And so, but my biggest fear, and Walter, maybe this was with you with Susan, was that at one point Teresa was really going to know me. And that was kind of scary. And she didn't know me till she moved to Texas, and then she realized something. I was just like everyone else here. She thought I was unique and special. And she just, Mr. Dean, she just thought, well, you're one of them now. But the point is, and the cat was out of the bag, you know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar, and you discern my going out and my lying down, and you're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. And some of you have read this scripture in a way you're like, oh my gosh, that's scary. But I want you to know it from the point of intimacy. That he knows what you're saying. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. This is too much for me to understand. Where can I go from you, from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise up on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me. I could go to Dallas and you would find me, and that's a stretch, guys. Sorry. For you created my inmost being, verse 13. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that fully well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me unformed, saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Miriam, you got your baby here, right? Where you at, Miriam? Oh, yeah. You and Sean got the baby. Can you stand up and show us the baby real quick? Come on. Oh, there you go. Sherry's still there. Yeah. Baby Nolan. And, right? I said that right? Yeah. And when he went through so much difficulty that God was there. And I just remember you getting the news that things might be wrong in the womb. But you and Sean, the love you had for that baby never faltered. You knew. You knew him already and was ready for him. Father knows our hearts and desires, guys. And he knows that you're scared, Mario, that he doesn't have you on his grid. Or is that just me? He knows that we might have some desires that we know aren't aligning with him. But he doesn't pull back from that. In Orlando, that's a problem too, is because we got some of those too that got to come in. Because I just wanted to do one tour. I just wanted to do one tour with a bunch of groupies just once. And then I was going to give it all to Jesus. And when I got behind that pulpit, behind the Grammy and thank Jesus for everything, you say, that's what I thought. Lord, when I get married, I'll get good. And what he said to me is, why would you destroy your life now and then have to fix it up? I know you. Your desires fit in my plan. I have my desires for you. Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters, what James writes. James 1, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be kind of first fruits of all he created. Meaning this here, I give the good and perfect gift. You're on my grid. I know your desires better than you, and I'm not going to give you the things that tear your life up. You can trust me. I gave you the passion that you have there, but if you let me have that passion, I'll put it where it blesses your life and doesn't tear your life up. Does that make sense? You're on my grid,
So much so that I've got a plan and I'm calling you into it. Now, guys, on Father's Day, that's a trip. Because I can just remember my father looking at me just shaking his head. You're going to move where? You're going to do what with your life? My father in heaven, no, I knew that. I knew you were going to try that mess. I knew you was going to quit college after 4.5 years of engineering and go off to California to study music. Now, my mom didn't know that. She didn't like it. But the Lord knew that. So that's what I told her. God's called me. I have to drop out of college as a senior. Now, I didn't try that line. She had hit me in the head. But the point is, I love that he's saying, give it to me. I'm the good gift giver. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. I love this one. I love this line here, Matt, because when I think safe pasture, anybody here raised kind of out and had cattle and that kind of stuff? Raise your hand if you're that. You ever have any bulls or anything like that? You ever go into that pasture where the bull was? Why would you do something so stupid? There was a fence there. You know what I'm saying? There's a fence there. I know, but hey, I won't in that fence. That's not safe pasture. You see, the fence that keeps you out of that pasture is the fence that keeps the bull off of you. No bull. That's your line. So he also knows our needs and wants. This is your father you're dealing with. We see in Matthew 6, 8, 9. And check this out. This is the message. He knows better than you what you need. You didn't like that, Melissa, did you? You don't like that he knows better than you what you need because, you know, we don't know that. But with God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. He knows it. I like that. He knows what I need. His plan for my life is better than my dreams for my life. And submitting to that puts you in a place of great blessing in your life. It doesn't feel that way sometimes, but it is the truth. The Father knows our needs and wants. That's what he knows. Better than you know yourself. Matthew 6, we see this here, and I'm moving fast, so get them in your head. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. He says, the pagans run after all these things. Wow, he's tough. And your heavenly Father knows what that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things are going to be given to you as well. So he knows that. So when I go to him, he's not surprised. You need what? And when's the last time you went to your parents, you know, and said, I need, $1,000. I go, you need what? You go to God and say, I need $1,000. He goes, I know you need $1,000, but you're not getting it. But you're not surprising him. So it's not that you're getting it, but you're not surprising him. So you may get it, but. Let all the earth, we see in Psalm 33, fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations and he thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. And Lord, would you bless our country even as we read those things. The Father knows our destiny and purpose. He knows it. We're on his grid. And he's calling us out of the womb, basically, into that. And you've come, maybe you're in this church or another church or just in a place, and you're going, man, I really don't know what my life is. I'm called to greatness. And I'm sure I'm rare in this case, but I feel called to greatness. Anyone else feel that call? I mean, really. And often I sit back and go, this isn't great. This isn't big. And he says, what part of this isn't great? What part of this isn't great? And I could start listing that, but I won't. So, you know, Ephesians 1:11, in him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be praised in glory. I want you to rest this Father's Day and realize something. As you think of your Father, that He knows that. And He's got you in that place. It's my prayer for you today to see that. And we see in John 1:18, as we move on, those are the things the Father knows about us. But what does He want us to know about Him? Well, we see right here. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is Himself, God is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known. He wants us to know the Father. Jesus has come that we might know the Father. Now, I'm going to ask you today, do you know the Father? And you'll say, certainly, I know about the Father. No, but do you know the Father? Well, certainly, I know the words of the Father. That's a good start. But do you know the Father? Do you know the Father? You've been chosen to know Me, He says in Isaiah 43. Believe in Me and understand that I alone am God. There's no other God. There never has been. There's never will be. I am the Lord and there's no other Savior. We should know Him in person. There should be a relationship. Donnie should be a relationship. That's my heart, is that you would know the Father. I would know the Father. That He wants us to know Him in a way that He's tangible to us. That we hear His voice. Now, it's not always going to be like you think it is, but that you absolutely sense a relationship with Him. And that the relationship isn't Him just going, did you do the right thing? Or did you do the wrong thing? One of shame or relief. This often is our relationship. One where you can sense His presence coming into the room. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father in John 14, and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still know who I am? I just want to say this here. I've been rebuked in my life. I'm so glad I didn't have to get rebuked by Jesus. That had to hurt every time one of these guys get around Jesus. Jesus don't open your mouth. It seems like you get in trouble a little bit. But you learn when you do. He says, anyone who's seen Me has seen the Father. So why are you asking Me to show Him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in Me? The words I speak aren't my own, but My Father who lives in Me is doing this work through Me. Jesus, He said, just believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in Me, or at least believe because of the works that you see Me do. Jesus' whole thing was saying, you're looking at the Father when you're looking at Me. And those of us in Christ Jesus today need to understand something. He has brought us here for that relationship. I'm being a little redundant, but I want to get it there. Not just to make you have a good, moral, clean life. Not just that you might prosper. Not just that you might not do bad things. Not that you would get to heaven, but that you would move into the relationship that all those other things are the fruit of, the relationship. I didn't marry my wife just so I could sit around with someone beautiful all the time, though that's a good reason to have married her. Hey, honey, how you doing? Don't shake your head. I didn't just marry my wife because I wanted some good cooking, though that is one of the ways that she got me. She would invite me over for lunch, and I'd say I couldn't go because I had rehearsal. She'd say, what time? I said, well, we're rehearsing at 3. She goes, we're eating dinner at 2. Come on over. She trapped me with the food. But there was more that I wanted than those things. I wanted that relationship of being known and to know. Don't you? Second thing says, not everyone says to Me, I love this one, Lord, Lord, we enter the kingdom of heaven. Because you see, I know You, Lord. I know You. He said, well, not everyone who says they know Me knows Me. He says, they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of My Father who's in heaven. Many will say to Me on that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy in Your name, and in Your name drive out demons, and in Your name perform many miracles? And I'll tell them plainly, I never knew You. Now, man, I want to tell you right. I don't know when the last time you hung out with somebody who was casting out demons and healing people. But I guarantee if you were, you were thinking, this guy's pretty close. Or this guy's pretty close to the Lord. He's saying, you want to know Me? This is how you know Me. My will. Know my will. Know my will. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, he says. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them, John 14:21. So knowing him isn't just knowing about him. It isn't just hitting vacation Bible school. It's not even saying the prayer, per se. And how do I know his will? Well, certainly the Word of God is a great starting place. Knowing the Word of God when it says, thou shalt not kill, that you put your knife down. It's beautiful to know his will. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness to all who keep his covenant and obey his commands. We see that in Psalm 25:8. We should know his ways. You say, how can his ways and his will be different? I won't tell you the difference. Will may be a very basic process that's going on here. I know this is the will. I've been told the Ten Commandments. I know these things. But his ways are how you walk out, Keith, that righteousness that's there. And some of us will do his will, but we don't do it in his way. I mean, I'm going to give to the poor because that's his will. But the way I do it isn't really pretty. Here, take this. Once the Lord told me to give my cowboy boots to someone while I was in Switzerland. He gave me a vision. It was horrible. It was the horriblest vision ever seen. It was that guy wearing my boots. And he'd come up and try to buy my boots off of me. I said, you fool, you don't buy someone's cowboy boots off of them. So when the Lord showed me the thing, I said, Lord, I am not selling that man my boots. And the Lord said, no, you're not. You're giving him your boots. They were the nicest pair of ringtail lizards you ever laid your eyes on. Most comfortable boots I ever owned. I've never had any as comfortable as that. But at one point I said, Lord, I'll give him my boots, but if they don't fit him, that fool ain't getting my boots. I tell you, I was doing it God's way, wasn't I? I wouldn't hid behind a pillar, and he was about 100 feet over there in the midst of a bunch of other people, and I said, Lord, he can't even see me over here. How do I know he wants my boots? And all of a sudden, this older woman was sitting next to him, turns around, looks at me, and she taps him on the shoulder, says, there he is over there. And the guy comes over and says, oh, you, God talked to you. I said, yeah, go in that room. And I said, if they don't fit you, you don't get them. And he had little bitty feet, you know? When people with little feet, no offense to you little footed people. There wasn't no way them boots was going to fit him. And he put them on and he starts jumping up and down. They fit. I said, no, they didn't. Come over, let me feel the toe. I got down there. And sure enough, his big old toe was up in the hole. I mean, you know where it was. It was horrible. And then he handed me his shoes. And they was them macrame things. I don't know where he got these things. And the Lord said, you're going to put them shoes on. And I said, I am not putting them ugly shoes on. I will go barefoot. I am a Texan, Lord, if you didn't remember. I was very prideful. I'm glad this is gone. But, I mean, and the point was that I put the shoes on because the Lord told me I had to, and they fit, and I walked like this, you know, because that's the way God would do it, you know. That's what I'm doing, his will, doing it his way. And I walked past, I wasn't married at that time, and I walked past these beautiful Swiss girls, and they looked down at my shoes and started laughing. Laughing. And I went and sit down, and I cried. And then when I thought I was done crying, some more snot came out, and I cried some more. And the Lord said, if I can't deal with the covering of your feet, how can I deal with the covering of your heart? Guys, doing his will calls us to doing it his way. His will is calling us into something deeper. It's not just him trying to check you off and see if you did something good. It's calling you in to your heart being softened to the humility of life. And I remember running into that guy a couple of years later in Switzerland. And he says, that's that guy who gave me his boots. He said, I had the ugliest shoes. I bought them at the Salvation Army. I guess they got them there too. And he wanted them. So he was telling people, I traded in boots because I wanted his ugly shoes. I still wasn't over that. Not only did I have to wear the ugly shoes, I had to look like a fool who got them too. But that's the way it was. God's doing it, his ways. Jesus gave him this answer. Verily, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. But the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. Father, would you show us your ways? And when I'm doing something a certain way, let me think, is that the way you would do that? I want to know your ways and your will and your person. That's my heart. And this morning, as you've come this Father's Day, we come with pains from our past, pains from our earthly fathers for sure. And some of us have come as fathers who have not demonstrated these wonderful things that our Father has called us, as he demonstrates to us. And I ask the Lord to come and deal with these things. But I'm going to tell you that if we don't know the Father, and we don't know his person, and we don't know his will and his ways, it ain't going to help a heap of beans for us to get prayer to move to the next thing. Because we learn to be fathers from him. And I want to be that kind of father. And I don't think I ever will be if I don't learn to be a good son to him. So today as we stand, we come and we remember that on this Father's Day, we honor the greatest father of all. And we thank him for our earthly fathers that he has given us and blessed us with. But we say, Lord, I want to know you the way you know me. Would you stand with me now? Invite the ministry team to come down. And as they come down, they're here because their desire is to pray with you and for you, not because they're specialists, but because they know that as they pray, they're praying for the power of the kingdom of God to come and move on your life. It's not their skills or their gift. And it's their desire to see you come into the full knowledge of the Father. Some of us have never met the Lord in this way. And as we've seen, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says in John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except through him. And that's just not words. That's what it means to walk in Christ, be a Christ follower, a Christian. Is that we come and we realize that the entrance to that, to the Father, is that gate that is Jesus Christ. And I call you on this Father's Day to come to know the Father by coming to the Son, who says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that today you would say, I'm ready for that. I'm ready to know this Father who has known me even before I was in the womb. I'm ready to know this Father who has a call and plan for my life. And I'm ready to live for him. And I call you today to come forward. I call you today to come and give your life by praying where you're at, but coming forward and sharing. And even as I call that out and ask you to come, I ask the Holy Spirit to come and to absolutely move over you that you might feel him and know him. And then I call for those of us who come as fathers and say, I want to be that kind of father. I want to know you in that way, that I might be the one who gives that way. Would you not walk out today without that? And for some of us, it's coming that the wounding of our fathers may be healed so that we can jettison that stuff away and begin to walk in the righteousness that he's called us to. Because we've been wounded. And he says, I was there. My call today is to become a true father to you and to heal those wounds. Those wounds that depress you, those wounds that steal from you, those wounds that continue to eradicate the kingdom life from your life. He's calling. He's calling today. He's calling to come. For us to come and to know him the way he knows us. And I'm going to pray over you. And as I pray, and bless you. Feel free to come forward and feel free to go and enjoy your Father's Day today. You've blessed me so much, except for the one who gave me the Texas candy bar. And may he wrap your feet with something other than macrame shoes. May it be his blessing. Come, Holy Spirit, now. I invite your presence to come, to move in our hearts to the depths that are there, for us to know you in the deepest recesses of our life, and that we would come to that place, oh Father, of desiring that relationship with you. Jesus, bless them as well. Bless them with that knowledge that they have been accepted by the Father as you come and your life given for the forgiveness of sins. Death on a cross poured out that the price of sin paid for, that they no longer must live in shame, but can walk into the fullness and freeness of the Holy of Holies to know the Father. And I bless you in the name of the Holy Spirit who has come to move upon you, to dwell in you, to constantly woo you into this place of the Father's love, to empower you to walk in that life of his will and way. Be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys so much. You're awesome.